As we approach this point in November, we come into stewardship season. I've always quite liked stewardship season because to me it's inspirational to see the people who love the church step up to be the church and to invest in its future. It's a time when we get to think about what lies in front of us and how we've arrived to this point that we are presently at. However, there's a lot of my colleagues who just simply don't like stewardship season. And that's largely because there are many clergy who feel themselves unequipped to talk about money or who feel uncomfortable about having conversations about money. Oftentimes in churches, these things seem to be somewhat taboo, but in reality, talking about money and about giving and about stewardship is really critical to our theological convictions. If we turn to the story of our faith, we hear about the ways in which God has given so much to us. We have to begin the conversation on giving with a deep appreciation for all that God has bestowed upon us. The Gospel of John is indeed all about God's love for us. God gave us Jesus because God loved the world so much. And the expression of the way that God showed that love was by giving something that was indeed incredibly precious and incredibly pure. There's a lot of people who say that they love certain things or they support certain things, but that they don't give to them for whatever reason. But the reality is that a true, sincere love will inspire some form of giving. Now, hear me out. This does not mean that you must give a lot or that there's some sort of amount that is more holy than any other amount. The point of giving is simply participation. Participation in our common future. There's something incredibly holy and honest and pure about the $2 a week pledge, about the $1 a week pledge. There's something important about that that we don't talk about enough. It's not about how much you can give or how little you can give. It's simply about the act of participation. In Scripture, we hear this story of the woman who gave her 2 pennies to the church, to the temple. And that's an important story because that's the gift that got Jesus's attention. Of course, there were probably some impressive gifts floating around those days. Roman times had its share of exorbitantly wealthy people, and I'm sure some of them gave. However, Jesus noticed the woman who gave that very honest gift that was what she could offer. And in that process, she brought her whole self to her offering. When I was in Africa, I heard a pastor tell of a story of the way in which the churches in Africa collect offerings. And oftentimes, people will bring eggs or they'll bring chickens, and their offering plates in Africa are huge in order to accommodate these gifts of fruit that people bring, or produce, vegetables, and whatnot. And there was one woman who stepped into the offering plate herself. And in that act, she was giving herself. She was consecrating herself, that her life, that her work, that her ministry was all for God. There are so many ways of giving, and there are so many ways in which this act can be a holy and good spiritual practice. So as we begin Stewardship Month, I hope that you will reflect on the ways in which God has given us so much, on the ways in which God has carried our church into the present time in which it now finds itself. The ways in which God has shown up for this church and allowed it to become such a strong voice for progressive religion in La Jolla. This week, as far as art is concerned, I've given you a little tour of the ways in which money relate to art. So on the cover of the worship packet, you'll notice Andy Warhol's dollar signs. Of course, Andy Warhol was very taken with issues of celebrity, fame, and with that comes money. And he was interested in the place that money had in 20th century American life. And so, understandably, the dollar sign, which is a symbol recognized by virtually everyone on Earth, would become a central motif of some of his paintings. If you go now to the third page of the Warship Packet, there is a work by Banksy, who is a British artist, who took a 10-pound bill and put Princess Diana's picture on it, and actually circulated, I believe, some of these in Great Britain. Moving onward, the internet field trip that I picked out for you this week is actually very interesting because it details the story of Mark Wagner, who actually dissects $1 bills, analyzes all of their intricacies and their components, and puts them together into totally new art forms. But also, the topic of money and art can be very serious as well, and that's the next piece by David Wojnarowicz. It reflects the complicated nature of politics in the 1980s. This was a representation of the feelings of anger and rage that Wojnarowicz had as a gay man in America in the 80s, who was HIV positive, who was developing AIDS, and the government's lack of concern for his health, and the focus in the 1980s on wealth and on trickle-down economics and on not focusing on the AIDS epidemic and rather turning the backs of the government on to those who were the most vulnerable. David Wojnarowicz is an activist artist. He was very against the Reagan administration, and this painting or this work of art that he produced reflects sort of the importance of the misguided priorities that were at play in that time, where the government was turning its backs on the most vulnerable, on those who were dying of this very scary and little-known virus, and the focus of the country's attention was on its booming economy. The next piece that I selected is Jeff Koons's rabbit sculpture from 1986, which is another symbol of the 1980s opulence. This actually, 2 years ago, became the most expensive work of art ever to be sold by a living artist. So Jeff Koons sold this piece in 1986 to his gallery for $1 million, and that proved to be a good investment for whoever purchased it because they resold it at auction 2 years ago for $91 million. And then the final piece of art is a very small $2 bill that Andy Warhol produced, again, showing an interest in the symbols of currency and in these things that all of us use in our lives and all of us are familiar with, but also with a nod to the whimsical nature of the $2 bill in our national culture. And I actually included a link to a really interesting documentary about the $2 bill. To my knowledge, it's one of the only documentaries that exists that's solely about the $2 bill. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, so if you have time or you are so inclined, that is there for you. So, money and art are very much so related because patrons have always had to fund the arts, going even back into the Renaissance. Artists were always people that relied on those who appreciated art in order to help fund it. And even though the patronage culture has sort of gone away, money is still an important aspect of art because art is now a financial instrument in much of the same way that a commodity might be, or any other non-liquid investment. And so the relationship that the two have is complicated because art stands on its own merits. It's about greater themes than just being an asset class. It's something that raises our consciousness, that makes us better people, but at the same time, it holds an important place in our economy. Church and money are sort of this similar relationship, that church is not about things of this world, yet money is needed for the church in order to continue to exist and do ministry in its present form. And so as we begin this conversation, we will continue to talk about stewardship. We will talk about where the church is at as it looks to the future. And you will be receiving a stewardship letter next week that will detail a little bit further about what our hopes and our dreams and our desires are for 2021. And really, my goal is less of a dollar amount this year than it is that we have 100% participation. It doesn't really matter the amount of your gift. The important part is that you are participating. But ultimately, no matter what you give or what you don't give, God's love remains the same, and you continue to bring such gifts of vibrancy and time and talent and presence to our church. May it be so. Amen.